Now, for those of you who are new to our church, relatively new to our church, and for those of you who are visitors today, I want to just begin by saying it's not true that the church always preaches about money. But for the next four Sundays, I have a series of sermons that I want to give on our giving as Christians. And I want to begin with 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 9, which is found on page 1146 of your pew Bible. It says, "And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urged Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Lord, we come before you to ask your blessing upon our hearing of the word this morning. May you open our hearts, our minds, our ears to what you have to say to us. And by your power of the Holy Spirit, O God, help us to live in all aspects of our lives the way that you want us to live. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen. As I said, today I'm beginning a four-part series on the theme of our giving as Christians. Wow, you might say, do we really need a series of sermons on our giving as Christians? After all, didn't we make budget last year? Well, yes, we did, but only just. We're not carrying that much debt as a church, are we? Well, no, not really, only for the parish car and for the rectory renovations, not a great amount of debt. And we're planning another budget that was slightly more than what we set for last year, aren't we? Well, yes, that's true. So why do we need a series of sermons on our giving as Christians? Well, there are a few reasons. Firstly, I'd rather share this series with you now when we're in a pretty good state financially rather than share it with you further on down the track when we might not be and it'll come across as being a fundraising effort from the pulpit. Secondly, even though people may not give weekly through the envelope system at the church, give maybe annually or every 3 months or what have you and by direct debit, we need to see that our giving, no matter how we do it, is actually an act of worship. It's done in the worship service. It's a part of our worship of God. And worship comes from the old English language word, worth-ship. And so with our offerings and with our general worship, we are giving God his worth-ship. So our giving as Christians carries a lot of importance. Thirdly, many churches are in financial trouble because Christian giving is hardly ever preached from the pulpit. I remember in my days in the Lutheran Church, we only ever preached once a year on a special Sunday that was called Stewardship Sunday. And even then you'd try and water down what you were saying about money and include time and talents. And elders would often warn me saying, be careful what you say, we don't want people to leave the church. Well, if they leave the church over preaching on money, they've left the church years ago anyway. It's only that they've been there physically present. Because in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. Martin Luther was reported to have said that we go through three conversions. Firstly, the heart. Secondly, the head. And thirdly, the wallet. And the main reason for our needing to hear biblical teaching about our giving as Christians actually concerns our discipleship. Money can easily slip into being our idol without us even thinking about it. It can be quite subtle and can be done unthinkingly and easily justified because we need to make ends meet, don't we? So we work out our budgets by reason and not by faith. We need to check ourselves so that we haven't wandered off into the idolatry of money. And we need to hear teaching about our giving as Christians regularly, for our giving is a part of our worship and part of our discipleship. And if we're not given constant reminders, it's easily to fall into the idolatry of the world and money. If we want to be serious about our following of Christ, we need to be serious about our Christian giving. As we're in a reasonable situation of financial health here at HDK at the moment, let us receive these words of these four messages on giving with a healthy and open attitude of heart, mind, and spirit. This week and next week, I'm going to share the first two messages in the series. Then we'll have a break for 2 weeks, and then we'll come back and finish off the series. And over this time, I want to talk to you about today, the motivation for our giving. Next week, the attitude for our giving as Christians. The third sermon will be the amount of the gift, and the fourth will be the blessing of giving. So today, let us turn our attention towards the motivation for our giving. Well, what motivates us to put money on the offering plate here at HDK? Is it because we want to give to HDK? We realise that this is a big church, it has big expenses, and so we need to give to the church in order to keep the HDK machine going. It's a large church and we need things to happen. Well, when you give, do you give mainly as a contribution to the priest's salary? By that I mean you like to see HDK led by a priest. You see the ministry of the word and the sacraments being officiated over by an ordained priest as being necessary, and so you give in order for this to happen so that you and the other members of the church can receive the ministry of the word and the sacraments. Or do you give with a kind of user pays mentality? You come along to church, you get to worship, get to hear a message, receive the sacraments, sing some hymns and songs, get a spiritual meal, and so you pay for your spiritual meal with the gift of an offering. So you give an offering only on the Sundays you attend in thanks for what you receive that morning. As I said, a kind of user pays. Or do you give because you're a firm believer in the Old Testament tithing law of 10% of your income to the Lord? This is what the Bible says, and so you want to do it. Besides that, if you give a tithe, you know from some Bible passages that God actually blesses those who tithe, and you never know, God might give you something back for what you give to him. What is the motivation for our giving as Christians? Well, let's turn to our text for today and see what we can learn. Paul is writing here to the Corinthian church. He wants to encourage them in generous giving. You see, there was a problem situation in the early church. The mother church in Jerusalem had fallen on hard times. It was a poor congregation. An old church that had been steeped in whatever tradition was tradition back then, and it was failing. The Holy Spirit laid upon Paul's heart the mission of offering and raising financial assistance for the church in Jerusalem. Now, this is a little bit of God's humour, because actually Paul received the greatest opposition from the church at Jerusalem. It was the church in Jerusalem where he received the most opposition to his right to call himself an apostle. Some of them were insistent that Paul had no right to call himself an apostle. Some of the most conservative members of the early church were members of the church at Jerusalem. Some of the most prejudicial persons were members of the church at Jerusalem. They didn't like the fact that Gentiles and foreign people were just included. They believed that not only did they need faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they needed to be circumcised and also participate in other Jewish rituals in order to become a member of the church. And some of the biggest speeches from the old members came from the church in Jerusalem about how we were here before you got here, so don't come in here with your new ideas and try and change things or challenge anything we've been doing, because we know the way. Well, under the guidance and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, despite what they were like, Paul undertook a big project of raising money for the church in Jerusalem. And in order to do it, he didn't print off any tickets and run a raffle. Nor did he cook fish or chicken and try and sell it after church to raise some funds. And he didn't have fundraising camel rides for the congregations. No, when there was a need, Paul wrote to the churches and he asked them to give what they had from either their abundance or from their leanness. To encourage the Corinthian Christians, he gave them the example of the response of the Macedonian churches in their giving to this, what could be called the Jerusalem Appeal. Paul writes, "And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints." You see, the Macedonians had problems like everyone else. In actual fact, they were in a worse position. Their country had been completely devastated and overrun by foreign armies, and they had all their wealth taken away from it. They were the least able to be able to help anybody. They actually needed help themselves. But these Christians in Macedonia begged Paul for the opportunity to be part of the offering to help the Jerusalem church. And not only did they do their fair share, they gave more than it. To put this in today's terms, it'd be like the St. John's Cathedral falling on hard times. Yet, here out in far west Queensland is a little Anglican parish made up of half a dozen churches that haven't had a drop of rain for 3 years, and they beg for the opportunity to be able to give to the cathedral appeal and actually give far more than they are able, even going without themselves, for the sake of the cathedral. How did the Macedonian Christians actually do this? Well, it is as Paul writes, they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. That's how they could do it. they gave themselves first to the Lord. The giving of ourselves wholly to the Lord is the starting place of all our giving. It is the Lord who is the motivation for our Christian giving. Our Christian giving is one outworking in our lives of our total thanksgiving response for what Jesus has done for us. Paul writes in verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." The grace shown by our Lord Jesus Christ is the heart and soul of our motivation for Christian giving. His grace in that though he was rich, in his state of exaltation in heaven before he became human, as Paul writes in Philippians 2:6, though he was in the form of God, for your sakes he became poor. That is, in his incarnation, in his becoming human, in his taking on flesh and space and time. As Paul writes further in Philippians 2:7, he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross, so that through his poverty we might become rich. That is, he came and took our sin upon himself. He took it to the cross, and then he gave us his righteousness. And we have this righteousness by grace through faith that we have received when we were baptized, when we died with him and rose again with him into that transformed state. So then, as a result of this grace that God has given us, the act of Christian giving then becomes one of grace. It's not a burden. It's not a law. When we give our offering to the church, we're giving it as a result of the grace of God shown us in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us in his death and resurrection. Because, remember, the church is the body of Christ here on this earth. We're not giving in order to keep the HTK machine going. We're not giving in order to pay the priest's salary. We're not giving for as user pays for the ministry we receive today. We're not giving in obedience to an Old Testament law. We're giving because of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. When we give of ourselves to him in return for what he has given us, then we are free to give our money, but not only our money, but our times and talents and energy to the church, no matter how lean or how abundant those quantities may be for us. Until we give ourselves first to the Lord in thanks for all that he has done for us, we will always have trouble in giving money or in giving anything else to the church beyond ourselves and our families. Paul did not make his request to the Corinthians to help in the Jerusalem appeal an actual law. He did not use guilt as a motivation. He didn't say, "Come on, you guys, this church is going to go down the hill unless you give." He said, "I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others." He asked them to show their love for Christ and for their fellow Christians by giving a generous offering. The Corinthian church was actually a very gifted church. Paul writes in our text, "Just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you excel in this grace of giving." You see, for Paul, giving is a very important grace or gift up there with faith, speech, and knowledge. And it is a grace that we are able to do only because of the grace of God given us in Jesus Christ. When we give our money to the church, we need to remember that we're not giving our money to a religious organization which provides spiritual services for us that we feel that we like and need. We're not giving our money to a holy club of like-minded people that we like to hang out with once a week on a Sunday morning. We're not giving our money to some head office far away who gives us back peanuts. We're giving to the Lord. For what is the church, as I said, but the body of Christ? And this congregation, Holy Trinity Anglican Church, Kawana Waters, is the body of Christ right here in this part of the Sunshine Coast where the Spirit has placed us by the gospel call. And even though what we do put in the plate will have practical outworkings in that, yes, the HTK machine will keep running. Yes, the rector will be paid and kept happy, and his wife too. And we will support the wider diocesan work of the church here and beyond the boundaries of Queensland. We're actually giving primarily to Christ, because we are giving ourselves to the Lord in love for the grace of his love that he has given us. So he is our motivation for our Christian giving. Amen. So Lord, we thank you that you're not only our motivation for giving, you're our motivation for life. But Lord, let us, as people whom you call to love, love you also and your body also with the gifts of the money that you have given us. Lord, we thank, help us to, O God, to not get sucked into the idolatry of money that this world is all bound up in, but Lord, let us be free to give to you, to trust in you, to rely on you, and to lean on you for your grace, O God. So Lord, continue to bless us as we hear these messages and open our hearts to receive from you a greater amount of your grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All praise and honour and glory be to you, O God. Amen. Amen.